Matthew, the 24th chapter. Starting in verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." If there was ever a time that we are exposed to false truth and deception, it's now. If there was ever a message that was confirmed, it was this morning, because he said he's coming. He's coming. "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It's about to be birthed. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Anoint it. God, give us comfort through it. Understanding, God, not as others who don't know you. Bless it as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I want to sing a song before we're seated. Glory to God.
The church, we are the bride, we are the chosen one for whom the Savior died. We are the church, we've been redeemed, we are the soldiers of the cross, we are the church. Church, we are the bride, we are the chosen one for whom the Savior died. We are the church, we indeed. We are the soldiers of the cross, we are the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, and the power of darkness cannot hide our light. We are the army of the Lord, we are victorious. We are the church, we are the bride, we are the chosen one for whom the Savior died. We are the church, we are the soldiers of the cross, we are the church.
Hallelujah. We're the church. Amen, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Yesterday morning, I mentioned that this morning I was going to read a letter that came from a pastor in Ukraine. An unprovoked attack on people who just wanted to live free. Ever happened to you? Happens on a regular basis to me. People want to attack me because I stand for truth. You know, it's not unusual, because Paul said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you truth?" When people want to stand for righteousness, stand for freedom, there's always somebody who wants to take that away from you. And Pastor Happy Hadeberg writes this: "I rarely post on here due to safety concerns related to where my family and I serve. However, I want to take a moment to share some inside information and perspective about the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Many pastors have asked us to about Ukraine and our feelings regarding the current news and situation. As someone with firsthand knowledge currently on deputation with my family based out of Ukraine for the last 5 years, working with wounded vets, serving the National Church and Bible schools, and married to a Ukrainian, I would first like to say both sides need our prayers. Not just them, but Russia. Please hear me. We have believers on both sides of this conflict, and the political situation would potentially drive a wedge between the apostolics of both countries and beyond. The salvation of souls have been and needs to continue to be our priority. I understand the feelings and the frustrations, betrayals and concerns. Like many of you, my family and I are grieved at what we see here on the news and the response or lack thereof of the international community. At times like this, we are filled with unresolved questions, anger, and grief. However, this should only serve to underscore the need for prayer warriors to arise and pray. Secondly, regarding Ukraine specifically, two of my brother-in-laws pastor in Kyiv, along with their wives and children. My father and mother-in-law serve as associate ministers and missionaries, and they have all chosen to stay no matter the cost or outcome. My in-laws are U.S. citizens and have been urged by the U.S. Department of State to evacuate immediately. They will not leave. My wife's oldest brother and his family have 10 years and visas to the U.S. They will not leave. They ask us to communicate with believers in North America, pray that God will pour out his spirit. We will continue doing what God has called us to do here. The Apostolic UPC Church of Ukraine is meeting daily for prayer. If there has ever been a time for Global Apostolic Church to wake up and pray. That's what Jesus said this morning. We need to wake up. It's now, church. The nation of Eastern Europe and the former USSR need an apostolic revival. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Engaging in rhetoric to express political emotion and thought may seem to feel good, but the most productive thing we can do is pray and participate in God's plan for a harvest. Pray until blinded eyes are open. Pray until the chains of addictions are broken. Pray until nations see Jesus. Pray for Russia. Pray for the Ukraine. Most of us have never been in that situation. We don't understand. The whole world is looking at this situation right now. May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation. The Old Testament declares that in the last days they will go back to their land, and they have. For 2,000 years, Israel did not have a country of their own until 1948. And less than 800,000 Jews conquered their own land against five Arab nations, or 42 million Arabs. They got their land, and they are going to keep it. According to Amos 9:15, he said, I am put them on their land, and no one's going to pluck them out. We see the overwhelming enemy coming into Ukraine and thinking, how could they possibly withstand? When God is with you, folks, numbers don't mean anything. Weapons don't mean anything. Since 1948, Israel kept their land against two assaults by the Arabs against innumerable odds. In 1967, I was in basic training and war broke out, and they told us we're going directly over to Israel. But what happened is the Arabs planned to attack, and a message between the Arabs was captured by the Israelis, and they knew exactly the day that they were going to attack. And the day before the Arabs were going to attack, Israel sent their planes over the Mediterranean Sea and around and came from behind Egypt, the strongest of all of the Arab nations at the time. And the planes flew 12 feet over water and ground under the radar and completely destroyed all of their planes on the ground, even the ones who were camouflaged. So effective by the direction that they came and the power that they showed that they thought the Americans were attacking them. The Arab nations fought against Israel on every front, but in 6 days, Israel defeated. 6 days, Israel defeated all the Arab nations. Remarkable, but only God could do it. They fought for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they rested. It's been 4 days now that there's been war in the Ukraine. But we've seen God's hand in this whole thing. The Bible tells us in Revelation 16 and 12, before the battle of Armageddon, that the kings from the east will come to attack Israel and all of those who are in NATO or combined against war. That's Russia and that's China, folks. When Jesus said, I'm coming. Folks, if there was ever a time to live for God, it's right now. If there was ever a time to get rid of petty little situations in our life, it is now. This has got to be a serious situation. We have got to start to live for God, not just play church, but be the church. So how close are we? I've been hearing about God returning for literally 40 years. And he's coming. He's coming the second time. Jesus didn't give his disciples a time when they asked, when is the world going to come to an end? But he gave them a lot of signs. And if we're willing to look at them and not bury our head in our own little life, in our own little situations, but understand, get right or get left, it's time. It's time to do that. The things that have been happening in this world over the last 3 years are just incredible. And God is saying, come on, wake up, get ready. There's going to be a falling away, and I understand it. There are some people who just do not want to live for God. They like to be saved, but they don't want to live for God. But there are signs all around us. If you go to Luke chapter 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, stress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, tsunamis, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near. When's the end? Well, there's signs. Distress of nations, weather phenomenons that have been happening all around us, men's hearts failing for fear. Heart attack is the number one cause of death each year. Last year, there were 696,962 deaths because of heart attacks. Nothing created more death than heart attacks. Church, we have to be looking up. We have to be ready. God is sending us signs. Another sign of the last days is in the moral decline of this world. I remember many years ago, Brother Grant, who was our district superintendent, coming, and he preached a message about if this is the world and this is the church, as the world moves to the wrong side, the church is always keeping a distance, but we too have been moving. We're allowing things into our lives that we have never allowed before. What wouldn't be acceptable 20 years ago is acceptable today in the church. Matthew 24. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Marriage isn't important anymore until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Signs, you wonder, is he coming soon? No one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels. But again, the signs are so plain. Morality is at its all-time low, while eating and drinking is at its all-time high. It's the greatest recreation that people have today. The divorce rate has never been greater. With no-fault divorce, people decide they fall out of love with someone, and so let's just end it and go on to something else. People don't even try to keep their vows. Till death do us part. We're in the last days. If you'll turn to Jude 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As we see the day approaching, we need to be prayed up. We need to be talking to God on a regular basis. And then, if you go to 2 Timothy, we're using a lot of scriptures today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a description. Know this also, that in the last days, the days we're living in, perilous times shall come. Are they? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Go to church, but I don't believe God can heal. Don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit any longer. Don't believe in holiness. It doesn't get much more plain. Children disobedient to parents, unnatural affection, men with men, women with women, having a form of godliness, but denying that God is real. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And he's saying, from such, turn away. Hallelujah. You know what the devil hates? He hates preaching. He hates people who will quote scriptures. You can even go to church and hear scripture, but they won't even tell you where the scripture is. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, for weeks we've been hearing, no, there won't be any war. It'll be all right. No, I don't believe it's going to happen. We don't want war. Sometimes it's inevitable. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all of the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. When they say peace and safety, for the last 2 weeks, we've heard it over and over through the media, the big buildup, but it was all just, well, a threat that there will be no war. This world has not been under such a severe threat since 1939, World War II. Matthew 24 says, the generation that sees Israel become a nation again shall be the last generation. That was 1948. I was born in 1946. I'm telling you, folks, we are closer than we have ever been to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No one's going to regret when their feet leave the ground and we're on our way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, the only thing that we really know is life here, and we want to cling to every moment that we can possibly have here. But God's got better plans for us, folks. Hallelujah. It's not a coincidence that the president of Ukraine is Jewish. Israel is the stage for the very last world war. It is the Battle of Armageddon. I stood in the place where the battle is going to take place in Israel years ago. It's a place 11 miles long and 7 miles wide. It's a valley. Today, there are churches that have become a place of entertainment and fellowship, a place of feel good. Don't tell me anything harsh. Receiving messages of you're all right, messages on social problems, but not truth. And Peter warns us that this would happen. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So people are saying, you know, I've been hearing this. God's coming back. Yes, it's going to happen, but I don't believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. And do you really think that God's going to destroy this whole earth with fire? The people of Noah's day heard the warning for 120 years. I wonder how many believed it at first or continued to believe it for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, and finally they got to the place where, I don't think it's going to happen at all. They were scoffers walking after their own wants, after their own desires and flesh. How many years have we heard the preaching? Jesus is coming. The people in Noah's day, they never even saw a cloud, much less a drop of rain. Well, how can it happen? People rising up to meet the Lord in the air? Oh, yes, it's going to happen, folks. Amen. I want to be a witness of it. 2 Peter 3:7 said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and ruin of ungodly men, because of ungodly men. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't destroyed by wickedness, but lack of righteousness. It was because of ungodly people that it was destroyed. And God will get to a place where, I've had enough. Every imagination and thought of man is only evil continually, like he did with Noah. The world now is facing an adversary with nuclear power. More and more of the unstable nations have the capabilities of nuclear threat. And according to Zechariah 14, one day it'll happen. Yet not until the church is raptured to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We don't have to worry about all of this. We don't have to worry about taking the mark of the beast. We don't have to worry about the Antichrist showing up, because we're going to be gone. In fact, it tells us in Thessalonians, the second chapter, 1 Thessalonians, that until we're taking out, the Antichrist can't come. There won't be a mark of the beast. There won't be any of these things that threaten the church. And we come back with the Lord to fight the battle of Armageddon. Turning to the Old Testament, in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verse number 12, it talks about this battle of Armageddon and what will happen. It says, this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all of the people that have fought against Jerusalem. It's not going to be us, because we're coming back with glorified bodies and we're not going to be able to be killed, you see. Their flesh shall be consumed away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Well, what could happen? You ever see any pictures of what can happen with a nuclear explosion? The heat comes in, and it literally melts people away before they even are fallen to the ground. This is not a time to play church, but a time to make our election sure. Oh, I wish I could just make you laugh this morning and feel good this morning, but it's not what has been mandated this morning. I think we're in a place where we see the signs. Ready or not, he's coming. I've often said, live as though Jesus is coming today, but plan as though he's not coming in your lifetime. I've got to be ready today. I don't know if he's coming today. I don't know if he's coming tonight. But I'm still going to make plans for the future. My pastor used to say, if you missed it, you've missed it for an eternity. And for what? What would you trade heaven for? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Turn to Romans 13. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Paul is talking about us falling into a spiritual sleep. Routine is comfortable, but routine sometimes can get us to the place where, well, we just don't see the urgency of what's around us. And Paul is talking about falling asleep spiritually, which is even more dangerous than dozing off while you're driving your car, because you endanger not just your body or life, but you endanger your eternity because you dozed off for a while. Perhaps this invasion of Ukraine by Russia is a wake-up call for us. Not only us, but for the whole world. We must be ready when the Lord comes back for his bride, and if we aren't alert, the enemy can take everything that is valuable in our lives. Matthew 24 again. Verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you would ask somebody at the mall today, do you think the Lord's coming back? First of all, they wouldn't even know he's coming back. And if they had some Bible teaching whatsoever, they probably would say, well, not right now. It's inconvenient. It's going to disturb my plans, my life. No, God's coming back when we think not. I don't preach very long because of this next scripture, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, that's a good day to have church, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered. We got plenty of lights so you can stay awake. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eucrates, being fallen asleep in a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. There have been people who have died in this church service. I remember Brother Miller dying. Heart stopped. He was right over there. By the time the ambulance came, God raised him off the dead, like Brother Fitch. Ready or not, here I come. The name Eutychus means fortunate. He was in the place with a lot of lights. It was getting late. Church, it's getting late. But he was sitting too close to the edge, and he just fell asleep. I remember a guy who isn't here any longer, sitting on the front pew, and he fell asleep during the preaching, and somehow he was startled, and he threw his Bible up to the altar. Many a time has a wife used her elbow to get her husband awake during the service. Don't embarrass me. It's more than just an embarrassment, folks. It's a matter of life. Thank God he was in church so he could be awakened. In Luke chapter 9, the disciples fell asleep just before the greatest manifestation of God's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Come on up with me. Come on up with me. I want to show you something that you will never, ever forget. And they were a little tired and fell asleep. They almost missed it because they were weary from the long climb up the mountain. Turn to Luke chapter 9. In verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. Church, if we are not alert, even if we have been climbing this mountain for years, going through situations that cause us to be weary, God, when is this going to be taken out of my life? When is the sickness going to be gone? When is this conflict going to be over? And we get to the place where we become spiritually drowsy. We could miss the greatest manifestation of God, the rapture of the church. You know who Ron Wayne is? Ron Wayne is a 76-year-old man. Just another gambler at the Nugget Casino in Nevada. He goes there a couple of times a week in order to perhaps make a fortune so his life would be better. He lives on his Social Security and a small savings account that he has. He was one of the three men who started the Apple Corporation. It was him, Steve Jobs, and Steve Wozniak. Ron Wayne drafted all of the documents of corporation, and because he was able to do that, had the wherewithal, they gave him 10% of the stock of Apple. And Mr. Jobs and Wozniak each had 45% of the stock, and And Wayne would be the deciding factor as to which direction they would go, because neither Jobs or Wozniak could really do anything with 45% of the stock. But because Wayne had some business failures in his past, he thought history perhaps could repeat itself, and he was very leery about continuing to be in this corporation that seemed, well, maybe unlikely. So he sold his 10% for $800. Today it would be worth $22 billion. But he has a Social Security. I've made some bad investments over the years. Nothing quite like that. Church, we are on the ground floor. Of incredible riches and grandeur. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the imagination of what God has prepared for them that love him. We all have stock in heaven, limitless treasures, life forevermore. But like Wayne, most of us have had some past failures. And we sometimes don't believe in the future. Now is not the time to sell out to the world, when we're so close to entering into the next world and all of the treasures that God has for us. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 26, "For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Church, now is not a time to surrender or to back down. Every person needs to fight like the Ukrainians. Everyone needs to take up the cause. Everyone needs to fight against the enemy. It's not just the ministry. It's not just the youth leaders. It's not just the ladies. But if everybody takes up arms, oh, the enemy is not going to overtake us. Hallelujah. The signs are all around us. Look up. Would you stand with me, please? Heard in the gifts of the Spirit this morning, "I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming." I've heard dozens and dozens of messages over the years that said, "I'm coming quickly," but it seems so emphatic this morning, "I'm coming." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altar's open. Would you come?